The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, it's Bill Buckmaster, along with, on the other side of the glass, a very pleasant change. I'm Ray, not that you're not always great to look at on the other side of the glass, but Rainy Summer is here. Rainy is our fine intern from Navajo Land. Thank you, Rainy. I'm sure you're going to be putting together, making sure all the knobs are in, turning in the right direction and everything is going well. And we're going to have a great show. So on behalf of Rainy, Ray, and me, Bill Buckmaster, we wish you a great day as we begin the Buckmaster Show on our midweek edition, November the 15th, coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Got our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com. And, of course, KVOI.com if you'd like to join the conversation. And plenty to talk about today with Tucson Unified School District Governing Board member Mark Stegeman. 790-2040 is our live line number. Dr. Stegeman is in the first year of his third four-year term on the Tucson Unified Governing Board. Dr. Stegeman, how are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me, Bill.
The voters overwhelmingly turned thumbs down on the bond measure, but there were some of us that felt it was due. We were overwhelmed by pretty much a 2-to-1 margin. I personally voted for it because I felt we've got to step forward with improving some of the conditions at our school.
Thank you, Bill, and thanks to all the thousands of people who did vote for it. I appreciate that. The problem was that thousands more voted against it.
Yeah. So where do we go from here?
Well, I had hoped that we would go out for bond next year and campaign for that and build that up for a year and a half. Having been drubbed in the election, I don't know whether we can go out next year again or not. But regardless of that, we need to improve school climate, improve student safety, teacher safety, so people feel safe coming here. We have to get a lot of money out of administration and into schools. I think those are top priorities. And we need to refocus on student achievement. And I think in the last year, especially since Dr. Trujillo came in, the conversation has moved more toward a refocus on student achievement. That's good. But talking about it and doing it, of course, are two different things.
How are you getting along with Gabriel Trujillo, the superintendent?
Oh, I think I like him. I always liked him. I voted against him because I thought he didn't have the experience to take this on and be successful. But now that he's here, I think he wants to be successful, and I will do my best to help him.
There is a major problem facing TUSD, and it can't be put off till the end of the fiscal year, as has been in the past. We've had these big deficits in the middle of the fiscal year. You could put it off, but now the legislature says, no, this is a budget as you go. So we're talking now with this enrollment decline of a budget deficit of close to $5 million. Dr. Trujillo says he has a plan.
Yes, I heard that he announced that on your show a few weeks ago, that he's going to have a plan coming out in December.
Yep, he's rolling it out.
And I look forward to hearing it, and I will do my best to support it. But it's got to include serious action to improve school climate and safety.
Would that be at the top of your list?
There's lots of things on the list, but yes, I think that is probably the single biggest issue.
But
and refocusing on student achievement is right there. But the problem is, it's hard to do the second thing until you do the first thing.
So how are you going to improve the safety climate without, like, hiring more, making it, policing the campus, putting more personnel there? Are there some things that aren't going to cost money?
Oh, sure. We need to
like
rewrite.
What?
We need to rewrite our disciplinary code.
What would that do?
Well, we need to, right now, it's about a 40-page document. It's confusing what students can do, what the penalties are for various things, what there are contradictions even within our disciplinary policy. We need to clean up that whole thing. The board a few months ago asked the staff to bring us 10 disciplinary codes from peer districts in Arizona. I expect we'll get that report in December. I wish we got it earlier, but I think we'll get it, and we need to start work aggressively on refining our disciplinary code and communicating to principals and teachers that they are entitled to do what they need to do to maintain order in the classroom. Hmm. And that has not been, and I don't mean
that's important, because if the principal feels they're handcuffed and that they can't make a decision because it's going to get them in trouble or whatever, you're not going to have anybody changing anything.
Yes, and there's been too much of that. And I think Dr. Trujillo would like to change that. It's pretty deeply embedded in district culture, and that would help a lot. So I think partly the message that comes out of central administration and partly policy. But I don't think that particular area is one where we have to spend a lot more money. I think it's more about policy and communicating what we care about, and that we support principals and student and teachers and value student and teacher safety.
Could you boil that 40-page document down to about a couple of pages?
I don't know if we can get it down to 2 pages, but we could get it down.
I think post it in every school.
I think that when we get the policies from other districts, and this is one reason we asked for that, I think we will see documents much, much shorter than the one that we've got.
Because right now the principal just really, they don't, there may be some fear that they're going to get in trouble if they discipline somebody.
Well, there is a sense that if you write up too many students, you go on to a watch list. And I think there's truth to that. I think some of that is a holdover from the previous administration. But I think there's part of the district culture in Central that has embraced that philosophy. And it will take proactive moves by the board and the superintendent to change that culture. I mean, we are going to have to deliberately say this has to change. And part of it comes from a sense that we have to do that to get out from under court oversight. But I just don't think that's true. The plaintiffs, and everyone talks bad about the plaintiffs, and it's really not right, because both the Fisher and Mendoza plaintiffs actually are reasonable people. Their representatives are reasonable people. They don't want disciplinary problems to be covered up. That doesn't help students. And they would like to see us actually solve the problem, not crank the numbers down. And that's what we need to do.
790-2040. Sheldon has called us. Let's see if we can get Sheldon in before the break. Sheldon, what is your question?
Well, don't you think that the state of Arizona may have to be involved here? And as such, I've written a letter to State Attorney General Mark Brnovich to intervene here. For one thing, there's actual loss of students, 880, according to Mark, this morning on the Cliff D. Simone show, and how to reverse the actual loss of students.
Sheldon, I got to go quickly. Is there any talk of a lawsuit from the Attorney General, Mark Stegeman?
Well, we do occasionally get into statutory trouble, but I don't think we're expecting a lawsuit right away, hopefully.
All right. Let's see if we can address.
Thanks, Sheldon.
Yeah. Let's see if. Why don't we, Ray, if I could take the break maybe a minute early here, so I can then address something else that came up at the meeting last night with Dr. Mark Stegeman. This is a personnel matter, but people feel it's very, very important. And we will address that with Dr. Mark Stegeman, TUSD board governing member, after we take the break on the Buckmaster Show. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Thursday, is one drink a day bad for you? A new study says yes. We'll talk with Dr. Victoria Mazes, Executive Director of the University of Arizona-based Center for Integrative Medicine. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Got our worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. We're push toward 12:18 on this midweek edition. Dr. Mark Stegeman is with us. Dr. Stegeman's in the first year of his third four-year term. We've got a couple of real important issues I want to address. First of all, well, I'll address the Catalina High School, that situation, and University High. But first, let's talk about, at the meeting last night, the Director of Staff Services, a lady who's been with the district now almost 30 years, a real veteran of TUSD. Some are claiming, Dr. Stegeman, that she is now the target of an investigation into her salary. Is this a witch hunt?
Well, the fact that that complaint is even being made indicates how problematic the TOSD culture has become. All the board asked is that the Human Resources Department do a market review of her salary, and I think we should do the whole board office. There's three people that work in there, and I think we should do all of them. And just say, do these salaries line up with what's in the external market and what's internally? And that's the sort of thing that should happen anyway. That should be done periodically anyway. And the fact, and it's never been done for that office, as far as I know. And so the fact that we're now finally asking for something that should have been done years ago, I think, that that is viewed as a witch hunt shows how messed up, not looking for a more sophisticated word, but shows how messed up the culture is and how people don't want anyone to be disturbed, anyone's pay to be questioned. If the HR study says her salary's where it should be, that's great.
Would you compare it to, like a district like a Phoenix Union or something like
that? Well, I think they'll compare it to other, she's at director level.
Director.
I think they'll compare it to other directors in TUSD. And I think they would compare it to other large districts, mm-hmm. people in similar
But
similar
your
positions.
Feeling is that it's kind of out of whack, the salary.
Well, many people have been saying that for years. And maybe it's true, but I'm not going to make that my judgment. Mm-hmm. We've asked, and this is a provision to do this in a contract. This is not out of the box. In fact, Dr. Trujillo has asked for several of these already this year for other positions. So this is not.
Why is it becoming now this political football, this issue?
Well, I think
the vote
because
was 3-2. Yeah,
I think because people protect people. To put it bluntly, in TUSD, people protect people. And I think that this person, and this really isn't about the person, it's about the position. It's about, is his position. I mean, I would want to do this regardless of the person. But I think for many people, it becomes about the person. And it's of someone they've known and like and helped for years. And that's the problem with TUSD is there's way too many decisions that are based on considerations like that instead of taking a viewpoint of fiduciary responsibility. If we're asking the whole district to cut $4.5 million, which in some sense we are, how can the governing board not do something as basic as doing a standard salary review of its own employees?
Well, I'll tell you, another emotional issue is the folks that are going to Catalina High School, and their high school may become University High School, correct?
That's a proposal, yes.
And then the students at Catalina would go to
Rincon.
Well, they're not happy about this, or are their parents?
Well, I think there's different opinions, but I think the majority opinion, certainly the opinion that's been coming to the board, is resistance to this. And I understand that because that always happens with school closures. People are attached to their school. They don't like to see it close. But as John Petticone correctly said years ago when he was a superintendent, don't fall in love with bricks. You know, the buildings are not teaching kids. It's teachers that are teaching kids. And this consolidation, if it goes forward, would take a 50% high school that's at 50% enrollment, merge it into Rincon. That's a huge site. It can hold 2,000 students or more. And make one big high school with lots of resources, more courses, more programs. We can spend some money upgrading the facilities there. We have money from school closures that we can spend for that, from school sales that we can spend for that purpose. We're making $5 million alone, over $5 million from selling Townsend. That money's in the bank.
Well, could that money be used right here to clean up this almost $5 million deficit from the 800 students who aren't coming?
Well,
by
law, it should be used for capital expenses.
Oh, okay.
And I agree with that. And I'm actually glad that that's protected so mm-hmm. that we don't fritter away on other stuff. Mm-hmm. But making some investments in the Rincon campus, spending $1 million there to upgrade the labs, to fix various accumulated problems, to move the CTE programs, the vocation-led programs from Catalina to Rincon, that'll cost some money. That's capital expense. So we can tap into those Townsend funds and do what we need to do to make Rincon a very healthy campus for almost 2,000 students.
When will this be done?
Well, I should emphasize, this decision has not been made. It's a process. But if it were done, I would hope that it would be done for next school year. We are approximately on the same timeline that we were at during the last round of closures, the Petticoat round of closures. We were about where we are now. So if this goes forward, I think it should be possible to do it next year.
There are 89 schools in your
86.
Book? Okay. What's realistic now that, and I asked you at the beginning, what's the future for Tucson Unified? Is the future a smaller district?
Well, it should be.
Smaller in terms of brick and mortar and school closings.
Well, we've gone through two big rounds of closures, and I personally felt that was enough. John Petticone wanted to close more, but
how many more did he want to go?
He probably would have closed 10 or 12 more back then in 2013. Hmm. But I thought we were okay where we were. But if we, you know, I thought we did sort of the right thing in that round, closing 10. But if we keep losing 1,000 students a year, this is not going to be viable for long. So we need to arrest the enrollment decline immediately, or we're going to be looking at another big round of closures.
Dr. Trujillo will have his plan unveiled in December. What's your plan for stemming the exodus of students?
Well, the University High Catalina proposal will probably give an immediate pop of about 200 students because there's more people that want to get into University High. And at Catalina, there'd be room to let them in. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. Mm-hmm. We need to do something about the discipline problems. Mm-hmm. We need to look at opening a high standards middle school, maybe at the Wakefield site. There's one possibility, a closed middle school. Maybe at the Carson site, another closed middle school that we still own. So we have problems in middle school. And we need to...
So you own some of these assets. So, I mean, there is some room here to work.
Yes, there is. We have sold some of the schools that we closed, but there are many other sites that we still own. And if we do our job right, some of those should be reopening as stronger schools than the ones that we closed. And the district, if we just keep losing enrollment and closing schools, it's not going to be viable. Because
if this keeps hemorrhaging, this enrollment situation.
Because the district is very geographically spread out.
Right,
it's physically the largest district in Arizona.
It's huge.
And if you keep losing students, people are not going to put their 8-year-old kid on a bus for 45 minutes.
No, they won't.
Right.
They will
not do that. So it's not the same as for, say, Chandler or Mesa, which are very dense, compact districts.
All right. Let's see if we can get both of these calls in the next 4 minutes. Mark, you are up first. Go ahead, Mark. You're with another Mark, Dr. Mark Stegeman.
Yes, Mark, after talking to you this morning, I wanted to add to our discussion. And if you want to, you know, maintain the population of students, you've got to have competence centers throughout the district and centers of competence throughout the district. And as well as, it depends on what you want to have. If you want to have an engineering center of competence, they've got to be replicatable, not just at one location that, like you have now. You have to have them all around. And also, you got to have a go, no-go decision on when students come in from middle school into high school as to what they're going to take as freshmen, for example, especially with the math. If they can't add and subtract positive, negative, single-digit numbers, they don't have the basics of numeracy. They have to go into something that will make that up. They cannot go into algebra. They will fail algebra. They will fail geometry without that ability.
Well, we need serious retention standards. And that's a discussion we've had for years. It has to be, to go into high school, you need to have some minimal level of competence.
Sue is going to be our next caller and commenter with Mark Stegeman. Sue, go ahead.
Hi. I have a child at Catalina, and I'd like to say that the teachers there are absolutely extraordinary. They have a culinary arts program that will qualify many, many kids who go there for a license, food handling license. They're ready. And the teacher is an amazing chef. Also, there's a department there where kids learn to build from a fantastic man who has been running the program there, The theater arts program is top-notch. And the school is also has a lot of children who are dismissed early who have special needs. And so, you know, they're struggling along, but the school is beloved by the students. Hmm. Also, with
Is the school beloved or are the teachers beloved? Because those programs, culinary arts program, if this goes forward, should move to Rincon. The construction program should move to Rincon. All this stuff should move to the Rincon site.
The school is only as good as their teachers. And the teachers, are great. They're great. And so, you know, I don't know how far Rincon is. But another question that I wanted to ask you is a question about the 800 children who left the TUSD.
Actually, it's 1,100.
1,100?
It's 1,100.
I'd like to know how many of those children were seized by the Department of Child Safety and relocated to other areas of the state. Is there any way to get a number? Because they take 30 children a day.
Really? I didn't know that. I don't know that answer. I could ask that question.
All right, Sue, thank you very much. We're going to have to run. Dr. Mark Stegeman, thank you, sir, for coming in to the studio and kind of giving us an update on what's going on at Tucson Unified. Thank you, sir.
My pleasure, Bill.
All right, exactly 12:30 now on the Buckmaster Show. City Councilman Paul Cunningham will be next. Paul, speaking of school, he's a teacher, and this is his lunch hour, and we'll be talking with him on the live line. He couldn't come into the studio because he's working, but he is going to give us part of his lunch hour right after this.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and distinguished professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improve mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show at 25 minutes until 1 o'clock. We've got Thanksgiving 1 week from tomorrow, and it'd be nice to have some holiday decorations, wouldn't it, when the family comes over and everybody sits down for Thanksgiving. What about some beautiful poinsettias? Red, white, I mean, they've got some incredible colors over at Green Things. Green Things with, I think, you know, I don't have the facts to back this up, but it's got to be one of the largest areas for poinsettias with greenhouse after greenhouse in the southwestern United States. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at Green Things AZ. Go by and say hi to Jan and Jack. They're getting ready for the holidays with all those beautiful poinsettias. Let's go now on the live line. Ward 2, Tucson City Councilman, Democrat Paul Cunningham is with us. Paul, how are you?
Very well. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you. Let's talk a little bit about the election. My friend Joe Ferguson, who covers politics at the Arizona Daily Star, did a nice job today in the paper, kind of breaking down where the support came from for the zoo tax. Why don't I begin with saying, did anything really surprise you out of this city election?
No, nothing really jumped out. I know that's a really boring answer. But
yeah, it is. Come on.
I don't really wish we have surprises. I just, this was a pretty straightforward thing, and you kind of could feel where people were leaning, and I think it was an interesting cycle, and then it had its ups and downs. I think there was definitely some uncertainty on results during the primary part, for the Ward 3 race in particularly. But as far as the general election goes, you know, there were just some things that all the different initiatives were working against and not working against. And you know, watching what we've done over the last 8 years, you kind of, some things jumped out at you. I thought the zoo, they asked for a very specific amount. They have a sunset date. And more importantly, they asked for a modest amount. And that's a lot easier and more palpable for voters to understand what's going on. In the case of a couple of bond elections, I think their eyes were bigger than their stomach. I think they went out to the voters for too much of an increase and maybe not had the goodwill yet developed to go and get something that big. I think they probably would have been better off going at a much more modest ask and it being very specific of what that ask is. And then when you do that and deliver it, you can gain some credibility to go for the next ask. As far as the sales tax for the Strong Start and the preschools, again, you're coming off an election where we just passed the absent sales tax like 7 months ago. You're really going to have a tough time being able to go out to voters in consecutive years and ask for half-cent sales tax increases. So I think that was the I think that was probably their biggest uphill battle among, you know, they did have some organized opposition and things of that nature. But it's really tough to say based on the outcome whether or not it would have passed at all. So I think those were, I think that was the interesting part of it. And I congratulate Flowing Wells, who has obviously built a tremendous amount of credibility with their constituency, and they were able to get their bond tax, and that's well deserved for that school district. They do a great job out there.
What is your school district?
Well, I live in TUSD. I work at Sunnyside. Uh-huh. And I think that, again, with both of those school districts, sometimes deserved, sometimes undeserved, they've obviously have a credibility gap with their constituents. Now, that doesn't mean that the current people there have done all the damage. I think that stuff builds up over time, but I think they've got to take a look at building up victories a little bit at a time. And, you know, singles and doubles, you don't need to hit a home run the first time out, and that's kind of what I advise people. Singles and doubles to some people may be boring, but in a more football up the middle and getting 1 or 2 yards or 3 or 4 yards for that matter seems a little boring, but it gets the job done.
Did you go to Catalina High School by chance?
I actually went to Rincon. Oh. I actually went to Rincon.
Well, the reason I ask is because we just had this conversation with Dr. Mark Stegeman talking about this change that the Catalina kids would be going to Rincon and University High would take over the plant, the physical facility at Catalina. What do you think?
Well, I don't think that the alumni of Rincon, Catalina, or University are actually on board with all that. I think there's a contingent of current parents and teachers that like this plan, but there's a lot of other people to be considered here. The other thing is I don't understand how that move actually benefits Rincon or Catalina. I still am wondering why we're going to now completely isolate the best and brightest in Tucson amongst themselves in the interest of what, comfortability or something, when diversity is one of the key things you need, and a diversified campus is one of the key things you need to expand young people's minds. So I'm not really sure that this proposal has been thought out all the way, and I know there's going to be some resistance among Catalina alumni, of which my father is, and Rincon alumni, which I am. We're really happy as Rincon alumni with the UHS partnership. It's been there since I went to school there. I'm still really close friends with my UHS Rincon Ranger friends. And so I don't know if we're really that excited to see all that go away. I think there's some other models that TUSD can look at and other avenues TUSD can explore to be more competitive so that they're able to fill up their schools.
Paul Cunningham is with us, Ward 2, Tucson City Councilman, 790-2040, if you would like to talk with the councilman. What is next as far as, you know, the zoo is successful going to the voters directly, and I kind of brought this up when we had the mayor on the program Friday, that what is stopping other groups, Paul Cunningham, from saying, well, maybe I'll follow the model that the zoo has put forth?
I don't think there's anything stopping them. Mm-hmm. I think that if you get 2, 3, 4 of them at a time, just because you've got a proposal and you think it's a good idea doesn't mean it's going to pass, and it doesn't mean you're going to get 50% of the vote in an 80,000 voter universe. That's just not the case. So Remember, people love zoos. Zoos have been around for 100 years. People like going to the zoo. We have a great zoo. I mean, a lot of people do a lot of great things at the zoo, and so it has a bunch of goodwill. If you're coming out of the blue, I mean, you know, no one's going to pay for a tax to say, oh, well, let's do a tax for, you know, let's go ahead and put a tenth of a cent on so we can repaint all the curbs in Tucson. Well, a lot of people are going to say, well, you know, before we repaint all the curbs in Tucson, maybe we can, I think I'd rather put money to patch the roads, or I'd rather put money, but I think the zoo is very good about saying, look, we've done all this stuff, and we're actually putting our own money in, and so that word got out, and I congratulate the zoo and Nancy and the team, and remember, it passed by less than, what, 182 votes or something?
No, it passed by about 600 votes, yeah.
So it's not like it was a slam dunk or anything. Mm-mm. So let's, before people start getting this idea that they can just throw a sales tax on the ballot to solve problems, I think we might need to take a look at some of the other things we can do. And quite frankly, some of the best stuff we can do, there's some low-hanging fruit out there for Pima County and as a region that we can look at. We can look at Vail and Tankerbury Valley and Catalina Foothills possibly incorporating, possibly having a couple neighborhoods that are right now just out of the city limits coming in, and maybe possibly retooling how we're managing the South Tucson area, or what is now the town of South Tucson. Those are the things we can look at, but that's a lot more low-hanging fruit and better management of the government, better moves by the government than messing around with sales taxes every 2 years. I'm not really a big fan of that. Sales taxes by nature are regressive. Sales taxes, the burden of sales taxes is hit most by the small local retailers. And let's give those are the people that are least willing to take a risk and put people to work and sign the front of a paycheck. And, you know, that's a big thing that people do. And just doing a sales tax every 2 years, what will basically become a corporate-owned city, and we'll just be basically another outsource for them. And I don't want to do that. I don't know if that's good for Tucson.
All right. Stick around, Paul Cunningham. We've got another segment here on the Buckmaster Show. Let's talk about the economy when we come back with Councilman Cunningham, 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, take it away, rainy summer.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Philip's Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See us soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Philip's Plaza.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here. Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for the holidays and for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, Noble Hops, craft beer and fine fare, and Sazerac, Creole kitchen and cocktails are synonymous with quality. 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Are you looking for a great weekend getaway? Consider the arts and recreation-oriented historic community of Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. The mile-high elevation makes for mild days and cool nights. So much to do, like exploring the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. No shortage of great places to stay. So go to southwestnewmexico.org for the full list of places to stay and things to do. Paul Cunningham, Ward 2, Tucson City Councilman, is on our live line. Laura has been waiting patiently. Let's go to Laura. Hey, Laura.
Hi. I just wanted to get on here and just say thank you, Paul Cunningham. When I was listening to you speak, I thought, oh, he's making my brain happy. I just have to call him up and say thank you. The common sense is a dying art. And it just seems that every time you turn around, the taxes, it's like, more taxes? Seriously? It's like, how are we going to attract? I mean, we've attracted some businesses to Tucson, and that's really wonderful. But we need even more. And as you were talking about the sales tax being a regressive tax, I mean, I only got a B in economics, but I totally got it when they talked about how the regressive tax hurts lower-income folks and the poor, because places like Twice as Nice, you know, that recycles wonderful clothes, they have a hard time attracting those folks to buy if taxes keep going up, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
And so I basically just wanted to get on here and say thank you and just stay at it, stay the course. Okay. I know it's a tough battle, but keep fighting the good fight, Paul Cunningham.
All right. Thank you, Laura.
Thank you, Laura. Those are very kind words, and I'm humbled to hear them. I don't know if a lot of people who know me would probably tell you that for a long, long, long time, and probably still today, if you're talking to a few people, I still don't have any common sense, but I'm glad to know that I like to think I do, so it's nice to hear that. And like I said, it isn't, you know, taxes aren't the be-all, end-all to good government. There's some low-hanging fruit we can probably reorganize. And then once in a while, if you've got a specific project that a town needs or a city needs, obviously that there's going to be a will of the people to maybe decide whether or not the taxing may be appropriate. But we don't want to abuse that, and we certainly don't want to overtax ourselves so that we're out of
any actualized competitiveness to other areas. The other thing that I thought Laura's call brought up was attracting businesses here, and I think that's one of, a lot of people who know me know that's one of my most important goals. And it's a very interesting challenge in that every single city and town are trying to offer different incentives to surplus job providers, and sometimes giving away the farm, and sometimes just not being, sometimes it doesn't even pencil out. And I think that we've been very prudent with some of the primary jobs that we've attracted here in the last few years, where we've had packages where they'll actually pencil out for the city, and we'll come out on the plus side of it, and we'll expand that pie. So thanks for the words.
But we do, we certainly get knocked quite a bit, don't we, about being a low-wage town and that things are so horrible here.
Well, I mean, I think that that's, I think that, you know, we've talked, there's always, that debate is always going on. There's two Americas, there's haves and have-nots, there's all this stuff. And at the end of the day, what we really need to know is that sometimes not all is all that it seems. And sometimes what you'll find out when you look at numbers over a long period of time, things kind of even out more than you'd believe. We didn't take the dip in the recession that Phoenix did. We certainly haven't had that 5% growth in 1 year, 6% growth in 1 year, like Phoenix has enjoyed in two of the past fiscal cycles. But we've been steady. We've been on that steady 2.5. I'm actually concerned on the last report that we had some jobs, some private sector jobs that moved out of like food, beverage, and hospitality and moved into government. I thought that was an interesting situation. I think it was one of the unintended consequences of the minimum wage hike where we lost some of those jobs. So we'll have to see whether or not we equalize and bounce back in that sector. But as you well know, Bill, I follow the economic reports of the state from the Bureau of Labor Statistics religiously, and I really try to get a good handle on what our status will be and is every month.
One thing not being talked about, and I want to talk about it right now. We've got a football game at the end of the year, the bowl game, and this brings money into town that wouldn't be coming here normally.
Hello?
Paul, are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Did I lose you?
You might have been lost me momentarily, but I'm saying one thing not being talked about is this bowl game, football game, that's going to bring people to town that wouldn't normally come here between Christmas and New Year's.
Well, you know, Bill, it's funny that you asked me that question. I'd say that every single city in the country wants to be some type of destination and develop themselves into a destination for the holidays. It's what drives your tourism and hospitality industry. I think it's really important for us to work into that part of sports commerce and sports tourism. And this bowl game is a good success. You know, Ray Desmond and Mr. Farhang have done a great job bringing Tucson back into the fold when it comes to bowl games. I think there's things that we need to do long-term as a city which could improve our status as a winter destination and as a fall and spring destination. But those are things that may take a decade. In the meantime, these little, you know, I'd say the bowl game is a single or a double. I mean, it's a nice little move that helps us pick up some of our hospitality and some of our food and beverage commerce in that period of time that was the dead time. So you should see some improvements in that category, and I'd be really proud of the economic indicators if that happened.
Yeah, because I mean, last year they had a pretty good first year attendance, and so this is going to be better this year. I think we may. Paul, are you still there?
Yes, I'm still here, Bill.
I know you're getting ready for to get the. I thought I heard some kids in the background, so they're probably getting ready
Yeah, class starts in a few minutes, but anyway. Well, our interview is almost over, right?
Yeah, we've got about 1 minute. So
one minute.
What will be the big issue in 2018? I'm going to make that throw that out to you for the city of Tucson.
For the city of Tucson in 2018, right now, my biggest concern is actually public safety. I'd really like to see us shore up our numbers. I'd really like to see us improve our retention rate a little bit. I think that that priority is important. I also would like to continue the work we're doing on the east side in parks. We're improving three parks on the east side kind of simultaneously. And quite frankly, the Parks Department has done a tremendous job just really trying to make all this work, but they are very overtaxed right now. We just don't have enough people to supervise all these improvement projects. So those are some of the concerns I have, both community-wide and on the east side. But I think it'll be a great year. I think that the Arizona Wildcats are going to bring home an NCAA basketball championship. I think we're going to see Khalil Tate win a Heisman Trophy in 2018. I think 2018 is going to be the year of Tucson.
All right.
And I'm really looking forward to it.
Paul Cunningham, say hello to your father, George, and to the whole family, and a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Bill, thanks for having me. Happy Thanksgiving and happy holidays to you and yours. Have a great
thanks
day.
Thanks a lot. All right. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Shaw and Ray Allen. And Rainey, are you going to be around too for this afternoon or no? No. So it'll be Mike and Ray. And Rainey Summer did a great job at the controls today, our fine intern from Navajo Land. And Rainey, if I don't see you before Thanksgiving, have a great Thanksgiving. All right. Ray and I wish everybody have a great afternoon.